Everyone remembers how they heard the news. On the morning of the 3rd September 1939, I was working at the warehouse of Lawson Turnbull & Co., plumbers, merchants and electrical wholesalers. I had the place to myself. It was a Sunday, and I wasn't meant to be working, but I was an ambitious young apprentice of 19. I had been in the warehouse since 8 a.m, making up loads for the lorries. At around 11:45, I was searching for crates high on the mezzanine floor when I heard footsteps below. A voice shouted, "Who's up there?" The stentorian tones of the managing director were unmistakable. "It's just me, Mr. Grassi," I said nervously.
"What in God's name are you doing here, laddie?" demanded Mr. Grassi. "Get off home. Don't you know war has been declared?"
I lived with my parents, Auntie Dossie, my younger sister Rhoda, my older brother Douglas, and my younger brother Bill, in a newly built bungalow on the western fringes of Aberdeen. When I got home, they were all in the living room, grimly gathered around the wireless set. Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain had just announced that Britain was at war with Germany. Unlike so many in the northeast of Scotland, the Urquharts were not a military family. During the First World War, Dad had become the first in our family to enlist in the British Army when he joined Aberdeen's local regiment, the Gordon Highlanders. He would know the horrors of the Battle of the Somme and was discharged on medical grounds in 1916, having been gassed and suffering from shell shock. Like many of his generation, he never talked of his wartime experiences. Later, after my own hellish war, I would learn why. After the outbreak of the Second World War, I went back to work as usual and waited. On the 23rd of September, just a few days after my 20th birthday, the dreaded letter from the War Office dropped through the letterbox at home. It informed me that 4 days hence I was to report to the Gordon Highlanders headquarters at the Bridge of Don Barracks near the seafront on the northern outskirts of Aberdeen. Suddenly the realisation hit me. I will lose my job. I'd been working at Lawson Turnbull since the age of 14. I loved my job, so it was with some trepidation that I approached conscription. I was under the impression that the government had given some sort of order to the effect that jobs would be kept for men when they returned from war, but these assurances all seemed very vague. Mr. Grassi, however, was adamant that his men would have jobs to return home to. On my last day at work, Mr. Grassi even shook my hand for the first time in the 6 years I'd worked for him. At home, Rhoda, Bill and Doug stood back, white-faced and cowed by the sudden emotion of my leaving. The adults knew the reality of war. There were lots of tears from Mum and Auntie Dossie. They had lost their brother Will at the Somme, and my departure brought back terrible memories. Then Father shook my hand manfully, making me promise that I would look after myself. My brother Doug imitated Dad, shaking my hand firmly. At last I wrenched myself free, swung my rucksack on my back, and headed for the tram to the Bridge of Don Barracks. The Gordons had lost 9,000 men in the First World War and suffered a further 20,000 casualties. Now I was taking the same road my father had taken all those years before. The Gordon Highlanders had a proud military history, dating back to 1794, when the regiment was raised by the 4th Duke of Gordon. Many of the original recruits were drawn from the huge Gordon estates to fight Napoleon's armies during the French Revolutionary Wars. Winston Churchill described the Gordons, who helped expand the British Empire with service on the frontiers of India, Afghanistan, Egypt, Sudan, and South Africa, as the finest regiment that ever was. The Gordons were famous in and around Aberdeen, and were always at the forefront of battle, a fact highlighted by their terrible losses in the First World War. When I got to the main gates of the Bridge of Don Barracks, I strode purposefully through without looking back. A sentry volunteered to take me to the looming stone barracks. It was the coldest place imaginable, a stone's throw from the North Sea. In the centre of the vast barracks room, which I was to share with 27 other equally nervous young men, sat a dismally unlit iron stove. We were a mixed bunch, made up of farm workers, servants, labourers, fishermen, apprentice engineers and plumbers. On that first day we were issued with our kit at the quartermaster's store. Rough blankets, kit bag, toiletries, toothbrush, uniform, fatigues, boots, socks, underwear, cap, overcoat and a gas mask were all shoved into our grasp. Rifles came later. After a restless